Hello and welcome to this month's recipe section. This time we're looking at recipes for children, both the kind they will enjoy eating and the ones you can use to start to teach them to cook. My adopted daughter Sandy has three little girls, and her oldest daughter Athena lived with us with her mum for 6 months when she was a baby. Now at seven, Pops, that's Grandpa, has decreed she's old enough to visit overnight on her own. On her first trip, she helped Nana Beth, that's me, to make lemon drizzle cake, to take home to Mum and to share with our neighbours. It was a great success. Mum Sandy recounts having to force herself to freeze some before she could scoff the lot. Not a good idea the month before her wedding. So let's start with that. Lemon drizzle cake. A good tip when cooking with kids is to buy the disposable paper liners from your local pound shop. This saves greasing and lining the tins and is handy when taking the result home to Mum. For 2 8-inch, that's 15 centimetre cake tins, you will need 4 medium eggs, 200 grams or 8 ounces of soft butter, 200 grams or 8 ounces of self-raising flour, 200 grams or 8 ounces of caster sugar, 3 lemons, and 2 to 3 ounces of extra caster sugar for the syrup and drizzle. 2 generous tablespoons of plain yoghurt. And the equipment and preparation. This is a good opportunity to explain the way to set up for cooking. I always used to get the kids in the private houses I cooked in into the kitchen and start by explaining that the most dangerous thing in the kitchen is the cook. Cue discussion on hot things, sharp things, and general kitchen safety. And then get them to work out that the first ingredient in every recipe is clean hands. Cue discussion on hygiene and general kitchen tidiness. Back to the lemon drizzle. You will need 2 baking tins as above, 2 paper liners, a large baking bowl, preferably plastic, electric hand mixers and the beaters that go into them, a small bowl for lemon juice and to make the lemon syrup, a lemon zester, a lemon juicer, a small bowl or plastic jug for eggs, a large sieve, a tablespoon, kitchen scales and a scraping spatula. And the method. First, preheat the oven to 350 degrees centigrade, 180 Fahrenheit, gas mark 4. And next, crack the eggs into the bowl or jug and roughly beat with a fork to break up the yolks. Then take the zest from one lemon and add the juice of 1.5 lemons to the bowl with the zest and set it aside. Weigh the caster sugar in the scales and put it in the large bowl with the soft butter. Weigh the flour in the scales and leave it in the bowl from the scales. Beat the butter and sugar with the electric whisk until light and fluffy. Add the eggs a little at a time with a small spoon of flour sifted into the bowl each time. Beat well to incorporate until all the egg is added. Adding the flour helps to stop the mixture from splitting. Add a couple of tablespoons of flour at a time, sieving them, along with a little of the lemon juice and zest, and followed by the plain yoghurt until all are well combined. With the remaining flour, teach your apprentice to scrape down the sides of the bowl with a spatula and fold in the flour with the tablespoon using a figure of eight movement, and explain the importance of not losing air from the mix and working as quickly as you can. Divide the mix evenly between the 2 paper-lined sponge tins, making a dip in the centre to help the cake rise evenly. Bake in the centre of the oven for 25 to 35 minutes or until well risen, golden and springing back if lightly touched in the middle. While the sponges are cooking, zest the remaining lemons and set aside. In the microwave, put the juice from the remaining lemons in a small bowl with the 2 tablespoons of caster sugar and heat in short bursts until the sugar has melted. Stir and set aside until the sponges come out of the oven. And you can, of course, do this in a saucepan on top of the cooker. Put the cooked cakes on a cooling rack, and while they are still in their tins and hot from the oven, spoon over the lemon syrup and scatter over the lemon zest. We like to sprinkle the last of the caster sugar over too. This gives a nice crunch. Leave to cool completely in the tins before removing and take none of the credit for the finished article. You will be the best judge of your apprentice's capabilities, but I let Athena crack and mix the eggs and juice the lemons, as well as weighing the ingredients and sifting the flour, and I used the zester as her hands are too small as yet. I also started the electric whisk each time and let her take over under careful supervision. I handled anything hot or sharp, but she watched so that she understands the process and will take over in due course. I'm looking forward to the time when her mother and I can sit back and be catered for. Next, a couple of recipes that our children relish and which you can use like the one above to teach them the processes. I can no longer physically cope with more than one child at a time, so Athena's little sisters will have to wait their turn. But when I was raising my own daughter, my sister cooked with her and her cousins all the time. Messy, but fun. Sandy's girls are going to Cyprus with her and their dad after the wedding, so we have given Athena and her four-year-old sister Sophia scrapbooks and asked them to include recipes in their holiday memories. And first, the quickest, easiest soup on the planet, leek and tatty, or potato if you're not Scottish. Ingredients are variable in quantity depending on how many you're feeding or if you're batch cooking for the freezer. For every leek, including the dark green bits, you will need a large potato and a vegetable stock cube, salt, pepper and grated nutmeg to season, and a little vegetable oil. And the method. Clean and finely slice the leeks and sauté in the vegetable oil for 5 minutes. Peel and cube the potatoes to about half an inch. Make the stock cube up with hot water in a cup. Add the potato to the leeks, turn to coat in the oil. Top the pan up until around half an inch above the veg, tip in the stock, cover and cook for 20 minutes. Season and serve. Don't be tempted to liquidise this, but if you like smoother soup, mash roughly with a potato masher. And this soup is an exception to the rule that cooked potatoes don't freeze. If they break up more when defrosted, no one will notice. And our last recipe this month is for frying pan or scone pizza. And the ingredients? 100 grams or 4 ounces of self-raising flour plus extra for shaping, 25 grams or 1 ounce of butter hard from the fridge, 1 egg, a pinch of salt and some milk or plain yoghurt. And for the sauce, you will need 100 ml or 3.5 fluid ounces of tomato passata. That's the sieved and smooth tomatoes that usually come in a cardboard carton. You'll need some dried oregano and basil, salt and pepper, half an onion, peeled and roughly chopped, a clove of garlic, peeled, a pinch of sugar, a dessert spoonful of olive oil, and for the toppings, you'll need 100 grams of grated cheese, cheddar, or a mix with the hard mozzarella that you usually put on pizzas, some sliced peppers, mushrooms, cold ham, and chopped tin pineapple. You will also need an 8-inch non-stick frying pan, a baking sheet lined with baking paper, and a large dinner plate, a baking bowl and the food processor if you have one, and smaller bowls for the sauce and toppings. And the method. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees, 180 degrees centigrade or gas mark 4. Put the flour into the bowl of a food processor with the blade fitted. Cube the cold butter, add it to the processor with a pinch of salt and run the machine for a minute or so to combine. You can, of course, rub the butter in with your fingers in the baking bowl in the traditional manner. I try to teach both methods, one for technique and the other for ease and speed. Tip the flour mix into the bowl, make a well in the centre, crack in the egg, and this is a good time to recommend to your apprentice that eggs should be cracked into a cup or saucer first, just in case they turn out to be off. And mix with the blade of a dinner knife in a figure of eight. Add enough milk or yoghurt to give a fairly stiff but not dry mix and finish by gathering the mix into a rough ball. Dust your cold frying pan with some flour. Tip the scone mix in and with floured hands, pat it out to cover the base evenly. Pat, don't push. Put the pan on a medium heat and cook for a few minutes. You can smell when it's browning and lift the edge with a palette knife to check. It should take about 5 to 8 minutes. Then put the dinner plate upside down on top of the frying pan and using a cloth to hold the plate, quickly turn the pan upside down. Turn the pan back over and put it back on the heat. Slide the uncooked side of the scone base back into the pan and cook for 5 minutes only. It will brown further in the oven. For the sauce, put the tomato passata in a small saucepan with the onion, crushed garlic and a scant quarter teaspoon each of dried basil and oregano. Add the pinch of sugar, the olive oil and salt and pepper to taste and cook for 15 to 20 minutes. When you have cooked both sides of the base in the frying pan, slide it onto the baking sheet. Spread with some of the tomato sauce, add whichever of the topping ingredients take your fancy or leave plain for pizza margherita and sprinkle over the cheese and bake for 15 to 20 minutes or until golden and bubbling. The base and the sauce will freeze well, but leave putting the sauce on the base until you're ready to cook and serve. And that's all for this month. Goodbye.